Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
Well, I mentioned this message deals with seed time and harvest. This is the September series, and it's based upon Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. While the earth remains, there is seed, time, and harvest. These are the three components of life. Matter of fact, you ever wonder why pastors always preach 3 points? It's sort of a biblical idea that God, especially if you read the Bible very carefully, you'll notice that a lot of things come in threes. It's like 3, 3, 3. And a lot of times they'll go 3, 3, 3 and then back 3, 3, 3. And then it just keeps doing that. And this is one of those points. The Trinity is the symbol of God, the Godhead. It is in three. Human life, there's the seed that is planted. And then there is the time, the pregnancy, and then finally the harvest, the child, and all of life. Almost every element can be divided: seed, time, and harvest. The seed is the initiator. It's the word of God. It's the beginning. It's the intention that God has. Then there's the time period. Then, of course, is the harvest. God had an intention to create the earth. He spoke his word. And then what happened? It was a microsecond of time, but then there is the manifestation, and then finally the harvest. The sunlight is now beating down upon the earth, bringing life. So there's the seed, the intention, then a time, even if it's a microsecond, and then finally we have the harvest. The origins, the intentions, and then the seed. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is what happens before the manifestation and the seed. It is this duration of time, this duration. How many people love waiting? Y'all like waiting? Waiting is the hardest part, as they say. But here's the interesting thing, and this may sound like a philosophical question, but it really isn't. What is time? Are you aware that time is not something that really exists as far as God is concerned? In other words, time, the first thing you need to know, is time is part of creation. Before God created the heavens and the earth, there was no time. Time is part of creation. Like space, energy, and matter, time was created by God. Time did not exist before the beginning. People are created beings, and they exist in time, but God is eternal. This is mind-boggling, isn't it? Theologians have often said that God exists in the eternal now. There is no past. There is no present. There's a present. There's no future. To God, all things are now. He is from everlasting to everlasting. So time is part of the creation. God is not bound by time. As a matter of fact, we could say time is extremely relative. From a biblical standpoint, Peter said this, "For the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." It really isn't anything where God looks and says, "Wow, this is taking a long time." This is a great diagram that shows us a little bit of how God views all things. He exists in that eternal now. So he sees creation. He also sees the end. He sees final judgment. And by the way, we're not in 1994, but that's when this diagram was done. God sees the whole entire duration of time. He is over and above time. Why is this important? You need to know this. When you pray and you go before God and you say stuff like, "Lord, I'm in a heap of trouble." As if God doesn't know you're in a heap of trouble. "God, I need this and I need that." As if God doesn't know what you need. We're cautioned by none other than Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes to guard your steps when you go to the house of God. He says, draw near to do what? Listen. Why should you listen? He goes on to say, do not be rash with your mouth. Let your heart not be hasty to utter words before God. Why? Because God is in heaven, you are on earth, let your words be few. God doesn't need your interpretation of the problem. Matter of fact, Jesus said the same thing. He said, don't think that God's going to hear you because you speak many words. Don't be like the Gentiles. What does he say? For your Father knows what you need, what? Before you ask him. So how should you pray? He goes on to say here in Matthew 6, 7 and 8. He says, so pray like this. Notice how he says it. Father, I know you're in heaven. I know you see all things, know all things, control all things. In other words, you acknowledge heaven. You acknowledge that he is holy, and you acknowledge that the one thing you desire more than anything in life is for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. And what do you have to do then? You have to listen. How is that going to be done? So here's what's encouraging, and maybe you need to understand this, that God has seen your whole life from beginning to end, and he selected you knowing what kind of boob you were. He selected you knowing exactly what kind of person you are. And he said, I want you. And we go, why would you want me? Well, because I created you before all time and you're mine. And it takes us a while to really get to the point where we understand that who we are is not even who we wanted to be. But it's who he desired us to be. And there is a plan that he has called. Listen to how complete this is. Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I've always known you. Doesn't say that, but that's what's implied. I knew you before you were born. I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I had all of this in mind before you were even born. Do you think this just applies to Jeremiah? Do you think it applies to everyone here? You better believe it. If you don't believe this, believe what the psalmist said. Listen. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book were written every one of them. That is to say, the days that were formed for me when yet there was none. You formed all of my days, my entire life, before I was born. This is mind-boggling, isn't it? In other words, God wrote your story before you got here. I don't know what chapter you're on. Some of us were in the latter chapters. But I want to play out the whole book. Because I have a feeling that the last chapters are better than the initial chapters. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. God wrote a book. Yes, it is the Bible. But the Bible tells us that the other book he wrote was your story. My story. Aren't you happy God wrote your story? That you threw you. So where are you going to run from your story? My admonishment is submit and surrender to your story. So, time is part of creation. Time is relative. Time is also a fallen thing. This is very good news. If time was created and all of the creation fell, here's what you need to know. You guys are all looking at me kind of with blank stares. Listen. If time is a creation and time is part of the creation, time also fell. Do you know that time is fallen? How do you know that? Because some of you come late. And some of you are always saying, there's not enough time. I'm running out of time. Time is slipping away. And that's the way it's supposed to be, because time right now is a fallen thing. Somebody once said, does time exist in heaven? Do you know the answer to this question? Some of you are shaking your head, no. Time does exist in heaven, but much like when God creates a new heaven and new earth, he also creates a new time. In other words, you'll never be late in heaven. You'll always be on time, and you'll never feel like I'm running out of time. Why? Because there'll always be enough time. Do you understand how this works? The Bible tells us that there's a tree in heaven and each month it bears fruit. So there are months and periods, but we're also told that there's not going to be a sun or a moon the way we think of a sun or moon, because the Lord is going to be the sun and the moon for us. We're also told that when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, a lot of things are going to pass away. There'll be no tears, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more pain. All that former stuff is done away, and so is the fallenness of time. One thing you'll never have to worry about is time running out. Right? The Bible says this when we get to heaven, that we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. In other words, this is what it means. We will have God's perspective in heaven. We will think like Him. And God thinks about time totally differently. How many people can remember what happened last year on this exact same date? Can you? You can't. Because as time goes by, we lose our memory. But in heaven, you will never lose a memory. Everything will be as vivid on day one as it was the first day you got to heaven. In other words, you'll just have complete bliss in your memory. Sand, like an hourglass, so are the days of our life, right? This is not going to apply. We're not going to feel this. Matter of fact, time measures the fallen condition. In other words, right, there's a beginning and there's an end, but that's not the way heaven works, but that's the way earth works. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up, a time to kill, a time to heal. How many people know that half of this list isn't necessary in heaven? Matter of fact, more than half. Nothing's being born, nothing has to die. Nothing's really being... Matter of fact, the whole list is obsolete. Time is perfect, and so is everything around it. So what is God's purpose for time right now here? And by the way, a big part of time is learning patience in time. A big part of time is learning how to become mature. Learning how to develop. What is God's purpose for time? From the time He selected you to be His child, there is that duration of development. Listen to what it says here in 1 Peter. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Listen to what He says. He says He brought you forth by the Word of truth, that you should be kind of a first fruit of His creatures. What is the intention of this new seed that is in you? What are you to become? The Apostle Paul said this, I anguish in prayer. I pray for you every day for one specific thing. You want to know what it is? Here it is. That Christ is formed in us. That the seed of Christ that is planted within us would take over our very being until Christ would be mature in us. How many of you can say that Christ is fully mature in your life? Most of us can't, and that's why you need time. C.S. Lewis said of Jesus that He came into this world and became a man in order to spread to other men the kind of life He has. By what I call good infection. Every Christian is to become a little Christ. By the way, that's what Christian means. You're to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. I become a little Jesus. People look at me, they see the attributes of Jesus. They see His mercy, they see His kindness, they see His love, they see His compassion. That's the point. Grow and mature. We're also understanding how patient God is with sinners. Listen, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but He's patient toward us. It says this, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Do you know why Jesus hasn't come back yet? He is patiently waiting for all to repent. It reveals God's love and His patience. Finally, it develops faith in us. You don't get faith instantaneously. You have to go through trials of various kinds. Your faith has to be tested. Then there is steadfastness. And then when steadfastness has the full effect, then you become perfect, complete, lacking nothing. In other words, you need a lot of testing. How many of you have been tested? Over and over again. Refiner's fire. And finally, I want to end with this, because we're told to redeem our time because the days are evil. Ephesians tells us three things that will help us redeem time. First of all, it says we have to purposely examine ourselves. He says, look carefully how you're walking. Next, he says you need to understand the will of God. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. And then he says, you need to stay spirit-filled. be filled with the Holy Spirit. This word actually means continually filled with the Spirit. I mentioned this quote last week, that two of the most powerful warriors are patience and time. Why do you need patience and why do you need time? I'm going to show you right now real quickly. Because when God has an intention, God has a purpose, and He plants a seed in time, the only thing between that and the harvest is you and your obedience. The Bible says that God is watching over every one of His words to perform it. God is going to be faithful to whatever He promised you. Listen, Habakkuk 2 and 3. For still the vision awaits what? An appointed time. If it hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. We built this church on the idea of Isaiah. And the idea of Isaiah 40:31 is those who wait upon the Lord. I didn't realize we'd wait this long, but we waited. But you look at everything in the Bible. Daniel, remember when Daniel prays to God and the angel comes to him and says, Daniel, God heard your word the minute you prayed it. I came because of your word, the angel said. But the angel reveals to him that there were demonic powers. The kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to my help. What is he saying here? The seed of prayer was given, the harvest, the appointed waiting time between the prayer and the harvest was 21 days. Do you know how many days passed before God gave Abraham his promised child? He spoke these words in Genesis 12, that He would make of Abraham a great nation, meaning He would give Abraham a son. Does anybody know how long it took? He was 75 years when he got that promise from God. He was 100 when he had his son. Quick math. 25 years. The appointed time was 25 years. He had to wait on God for the vision. And by the way, he didn't wait. We know this. And we ended up with 9/11 and everything since then. Ha! Don't get me started. How about this promise? It was made in the very beginning. God speaking to the serpent Lucifer. Well, he was actually Satan at this point. And God says, I'm going to put an enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. You know what this is referring to? It's referring to Jesus. The offspring of Mary, the offspring of man would eventually bruise the head. How long did this take? Does anybody know? From Genesis 1 to Jesus' death on the cross, 4,000 years. That was the appointed time for that promise. How about Jesus' resurrection? And promising us that He would come back and we would be resurrected. The second coming, how long has this been? 2,000 years and counting. But you know there's going to come a day in heaven where the Father's going to look at Jesus. And Jesus is going to look at the Father and they're going to go, it's time. The appointed time. There may be a little earth clock with sand. And it's running. And Jesus is looking at the Father. The Father's looking at Jesus. The Holy Spirit said, I'm ready. And as soon as that last grain of sand drops, Jesus is jumping on the horse. They got horses up there, you know? He's got a nice big white one. But there's an appointed time. There is a vision. There is a purpose under heaven. But it awaits an appointed time. If it hastens, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. How many of you are waiting for it? Don't just wait for it really wait for it. Wait for it as if it's going to happen tomorrow. It will surely come. It will not delay. You know what's going to happen when we get taken up into heaven? Because I do believe the saints are going to be taken up to heaven in some special way. We're going to be looking at one another and going, just looking, It's happening. I'll be the first one looking at it. As a preacher, I'll be saying, I told you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we're in. I don't know where we are in the timetable of heaven and how far we've got to your return. But Lord, I think you've given us a little bit of time. And the time awaits the harvest. And going back to your words, you said, look at the fields. They are white unto harvest. But the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord for more laborers. You're the laborers, guys. We got a little harvesting to do before we go home.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.